that kind of kept him going and kept his spirits alive. Those who contributed on LaunchGood and the people involved with LaunchGood, and so many. You know, again, I don't want to offend so many people by not mentioning who they are, but God, Allah, knows who you are and what you did and how you contributed and how you supported justice and how you supported, you know, this work against oppression and against unfairness and against our Constitution and Bill of Rights and the freedom of speech. And so I just wanted to say on behalf of the ISM, we are very proud of you. We appreciate everything that everybody did, no matter how large or big. We appreciate that. We thank you, and we ask God to bless each and every one of you. They're just so attached to their grandpa. I mean, they're just not letting him go, mashallah. We are going to have now Brother Salah say a bit about what his thoughts here. JazakAllah.
Thank you very much, Brother Othman. Assalamu alaikum. And welcome, everyone, to the ISM. I am so happy and honored that after 11 Friday, I was not allowed to pray the Jum'ah prayer, which is gathering prayer with other Muslims. I used to pray with by myself as an individual, almost 99% of the time inside the jail. Finally, I am back, and I'm here with my grandchildren, with my family, with my dear community, with people of freedom, people of justice, people of faith, who stood with my cause and my case. Thank you very much, everyone. This means the world to me. I have a new life, and this life came from after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, came from your support and from your stand with justice and stand with my case, and I really appreciate it. Thank you very much. My dear brothers and sisters, media and everyone, my dear society, I am back to serve the community. Monday, we will have many meetings to continue building bridges more and more with other faiths, to building projects more and more for the future of our children. We are builders for goodness. We are against wrongdoing. We are against anything unjust, but anything with values, anything with justice, anything with support families, support education, support our kids and the future of our kids, we will be there, and we will do the extra mile to make sure to deliver for the best future to everyone. This is who we are. I said the same thing when I was in jail, when I addressed the community a few times through the phone, inside my room, inside my cold room, I used to say, because it's too cold, by the way. And we'll continue doing the same, wherever we are, to do the mission to support the community and society and to deliver goodness everywhere, inshallah. I really was hoping to see my mom before she traveled to Palestine. So the last few days in jail, I was insisting to Luna and her team, which is one of my attorneys. And by the way, I really want to thank the teams of attorneys who work for my case, and especially the local one, which is Brother Munjid Ahmed, this hero, the community hero. And Brother Osman Atta, those two pillars in this community who you find in downtown Milwaukee in court fighting for any just cause for free, by the way. You find him in Chicago, you find him anywhere to stand with justice. And by the way, 90% or 99%, when they stand with people, it will be for free, with any just cause. They know how to differentiate between business and free cause, mashallah. And again, there's many attorneys who stood with me. I thank them all
for what they did. And I thank the judge for his fairness and the way he chose to be a just judge. And honestly, he gave me hope of the system. That, thank God, we have still great people who can give right judgment for a better future. Because imagine myself, finally, I met my mom last night before she went back home. If the judge said something else, I will lose this opportunity. And she's 85 years old. And by the way, subhanAllah, 10 minutes before I went to jail, she spent 5 days in the hospital because of some heart problem. And I spent those 5 days, by the way, with her inside the hospital. Allah gave me the opportunity to be with her. During all night, I spent the nights with her in the same room to stand with my mom. Because for me, she's my mom and dad. My dad passed away when I was 4 years old. So she raised me as mom and dad. And I owe her to stand with her, not to be away from her now when she needs me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again gave me this opportunity to see her a day before. And at the same time, to see my beautiful grandchildren. I have 9 grandchildren. I'm breaking news, there's number 10 coming the way. Inshallah ta'ala. They all have great citizens. And I have my daughter, Sundus. She came all the way from Memphis with her husband, with her kids. Beautiful girls, you see them here, twins, and mashallah, beautiful girls. To be with me, and by the way, she has her 4th baby when I was in jail. Now it's like 65 or 70 days, and I was in jail when she had the birth of the baby. And it was very tough on her, to be honest with you. Very tough to have her baby with her kids while she knew that her dad going through what I was going through. And to have also my 6 sons, they all professionals, alhamdulillah, my old kids finished from Salam school. And they all professional finished colleges. All my 6 kids, they finished colleges. They born in the US and they are American citizens. They are professional. They are the product of this community. They raised with this community, like other kids here in this community. We belong here. And we want to continue build here. So I hope, inshallah ta'ala, the future will be better because we deserve a better future for all of us, inshallah. And again, thank you very much. Thank you very much for coming. I really appreciate my dear community who stood with me. People of faith, Osman mentioned, I don't want to miss any names, honestly, or any group. Tens of groups, and I brought back with me more than 400 letters arrived to my room. And the guards there, they used to be shocked. And once, wallahi, one time, the guard came to me, a female guard, she told me, Salah, can you come and carry the mail? I can't carry it. What is this? And I have to walk outside to go carry my own mail because it was too heavy. It's 2 boxes of mail. Okay. I have like at least 40 letters from Dallas. I have like 20 to 30 letters from Michigan. I have like almost 70 letters from Chicago, Madison community. JVB and other groups who work hard in medicine, they send me tens of letters. In Milwaukee, the Salam School, your family. I mean, if I will say raise hands, I'm sure like tens of you guys will raise hands and say, okay, I send you a letter, Salah. But it means a lot to someone who going through unjust situation. Again, thank you very much. I owe you for this. I love you, and I promise you to continue working for better future.
We love to have you back. It's a great feeling, and we're looking forward to working with you more on a daily basis. I want to call up, before we talk to the attorney, I would like to bring up Karim Sassoua. This is Salah's eldest son. He took over from his dad. Mashallah, he's a quiet guy, but he's a tremendous asset to the family. He took on a really major task, and he wants to talk a little bit about what it was like for the family for those 81 days.
Assalamu alaikum, thank you for being here today. I mean, when you go back and realize your dad was kidnapped and you have to go find him and being overwhelmed with all those emotions, and living every day as as the nightmare continues, waking up every single day not knowing how your dad is, what's going on, if he's okay, if many other nights we also heard about the food poisoning that he was going through and stuff like that. So it was killing us as a family, and the news came to us as an earthquake to us and the community. My son insisted on bringing a blanket today, thinking that his grandfather is so cold from the nights that he spent over there. So when we heard the news yesterday and we rushed, we knew it was a dream come true, but we were worried that we were daydreaming. So we rushed to make sure that we got there as fast as we can, and dreaming every day, hugging your father again, seeing him being back to the family, it was a dream come true. And it came true because of this amazing community, amazing leaders, amazing people that took the action and did what they had to do to make sure that he comes home. And for that, we thank all of you guys and the Wisconsin community and the cities across the nation. Thank you. He's back home. He's back home with his family. And we took a quiet night last night, knowing that he's home, sound asleep in his bed, and that he's among his family. So that's a big dream come true to us. And now we can actually call him every day, whenever we want, check on him whenever we want, see him whenever we want, and eat as one big family that we should have. What happened to him should have happened. We did the fight, and we will continue doing the fight. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Karim. We are next going to hear from Saucer's main attorney. For the media, we will have the video available for you afterwards. For if anyone wants what she's saying, we will give you the link so that you can actually have the video. We're not going to be able to project it. This is attorney Luna Drewby from, I think it's Belbach. Let me get the name correctly. I don't want to screw it up. Belbach, Levine & Hoffman, LLP in New York. She's worked on a number of cases nationally, particularly for those individuals involved with the encampments and the attempt to target them. She was a great, great attorney. Okay, I'm sorry, one of the mics here just fell. One second. Can you just sit all the way here? Or the one over there? Okay. 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 Let's go. Okay, we're going to give that a try. All right, sorry about that. So again, great attorney, great work, and great results. I mean, we were really very, very happy to see the judge's decision, and I'll have attorney Drewby talk about some of the case and where we're going from here. Attorney Drewby. You guys hear good?
Yes.
Yeah, everyone is saying yes.
Or was at risk of serious medical complications. At one point, he suffered severe stomach pain. It was debilitating and caused him to beg the guards for medical treatment. Instead, he was told to purchase his own Tylenol, and that medical staff would not be available until the next morning. In addition to his medical issues, he was denied the ability to practice his faith freely. But, as we told the federal judge a few weeks ago, the real problem was that he should not have been detained in the first place. His detention was punitive and was a retaliation for his advocacy on behalf of his people. Salah Sarsour is a proud Palestinian, and as he told me when he was in detention, nothing will stop him from speaking out about Palestinian human rights. Yesterday, a federal judge agreed and found that the government cannot retaliate against Salah for his advocacy. However, Salah's legal battle continues, and he will continue to pursue his claims in the federal court. Separately, his immigration case continues, and he will be challenging each and every one of the government's false allegations against him there as well. But the lesson here today is clear. The government's policy of chilling the speech of those who advocate for Palestinians will not succeed. Freedom of speech and association is a core constitutional right in this country. And yesterday, a federal judge agreed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're going to have, if any of the media have questions for Attorney Drewby, we will have you ask those questions right now before we have a few other speakers who will address you. Anyone have a question, and we'll relay it directly to Attorney Drewby. Yes. Okay, so the question is, are we worried about the Heritage Foundation and the issues related to the freedom of speech and that they're trying to impact?
Well, I think everybody in the country should be terrified by what the government has done in response to the Heritage Foundation and their plan. But as we saw yesterday, we cannot allow these actors to chill the speech of anybody. This is about Palestine, but it could affect any other area, whether it's climate justice or human rights. It could affect everybody. It starts here, and that's something that we all should be aware of and be ready to fight.
Yes.
For Attorney Drewby, respectfully, the government has been very strong in some of its language, even yesterday, some of the terminology and accusations. She just called those allegations false. Can she expand on that, past actions from Mr. Sarsour, and how she plans to address those?
Okay, so he was saying that the government has been very strong with regards to the allegation and the language that they have actually used. And he wants to know, how will you go forward in addressing some of these allegations that are being raised by the government?
As we informed the judge, and as the judge decided in yesterday's decision, these are 30-year-old stale allegations that they're drudging up now. They know they're false. In fact, they chose to not believe them multiple times during Mr. Sarsour's 30 years in this country. And so everybody can see the pretext behind that. The real reality here is that Salah Sarsour was targeted for his lawful speech. And that's the reality, and that's what we'll continue to fight.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, so the question is, how many pending cases does Salah have? Excuse me. I'm sorry, I saw that coming down. And what is the nature of those cases? So how many cases does Salah have that are pending, and what is the nature of those cases?
So there are two parallel cases going on right now. There's an immigration court case related to the government's accusations and relating to his immigration status. Separately, our federal case relates to his unlawful detention. So when he was detained, lawyers jumped into action very quickly to try to get a court order to stop them from moving him or deporting him, God forbid, overseas. So because of quick action of lawyers, we were able to keep him in Indiana, and that was the power of that federal case, which we continue to fight.
Yes, ma'am. So the question is, as an attorney, what are the next steps as you're moving forward with these cases?
Sure. We have an incredible immigration team of lawyers who will be pursuing and fighting every single allegation against him for the government's claims that are the basis of his removal proceeding, which is the immigration proceeding. We, on the federal case, the federal side, we will continue to pursue that case. Whether it's through discovery and fact-finding, we will continue to develop that case, and we believe strongly that the judge will ultimately come down and rule definitively that the law enforcement's constitutional rights were violated.
Any other questions from the media? Yes, sir.
Did the federal government ever explain or offer any indication why they brought him to Indiana?
Did the government ever explain why they brought him to Indiana?
The benefit of explaining their conduct, all I can say is the practice, as we've seen in multiple cases, is they try to shuttle people down south to favorable jurisdictions for them to impose the harshest treatment possible. And like I said, if it weren't for the incredibly quick conduct of the legal team, that might have just happened. But we were able to stop him and keep him in Indiana. Still hours away from his family, but not down south, where they inevitably were trying to send him.
If I could just add to that, I do know that when they took him to Chicago and then they were taking him to Indiana, what Attorney Truby is mentioning is that a habeas petition without even having all the papers from the government was filed, because the fear was that he would be moved down to Louisiana or some other jurisdiction, as Attorney Truby was mentioning, moving down south to something that's more favorable to the government. Any other media questions? No? Okay. Attorney Truby, thank you so much. We appreciate your time again, appreciate all of your work. We're very, very thankful for you and your entire team. And everyone here. Okay, thank you. There's a lot of, there was clapping in the background. I hope you were able to hear that. Okay. All right, next. As I mentioned, there were many groups that were really involved. Last Sunday, we had a group, and Dr. Jody Malaman was part of that group. I'm going to have you talk a little bit about that. They actually went down, drove the five and a half hours to Clay County, Indiana, in the middle of nowhere. They were able to rally in support of Salah Sassoon, and they've done a lot more. And she's going to just give you a little indication about that.
Good afternoon, sisters and brothers. Today is a really joyous day. In addition to being Juneteenth, today is Salah Sassoon Freedom Day. Today we celebrate Salah's freedom from unjust captivity by ICE for his strong voice and advocacy for justice in Palestine. I am one of many Jews in Milwaukee who see Salah as our hero for standing up for all of our constitutional rights, for standing up for democracy. As Brother Uthman was saying, last Sunday I stood with close to 200 people, many folks here in this room today, outside the Clay County Detention Center. It included Jewish people from across three states, alongside an interfaith crowd and Salah's family, calling for his release, hoping he would hear us. Some traveled many hundreds of miles to be there. Harriet McKinney Mandelbaum, the wife of an Orthodox rabbi, said at our Jews for Salah vigil, using the words from the story of Exodus, "Let my people go. Salah Sassor is my people. We are all connected." In the 2 months since Salah Sassor was taken from his beloved community here, thousands of Jewish Americans have risen up to oppose the state terror done in our name against Salah and other Palestinians. It didn't happen like this before Salah was taken. We know that Jewish safety depends on protecting a free, multicultural, multiracial democracy, and that when ICE comes for one, they come for us all. Wisconsin Jews for Justice collected more than 400 signatures from just Jewish residents of Wisconsin demanding Salah's freedom. Thank you. Bend the Ark, which is a national progressive Jewish group, put up a Jewish petition to free Salah, which currently has an amazing 9,500 plus signatures, which is a record number for that organization on any issue. This week, four rabbis published an op-ed in the Chicago Sun-Times demanding the release of Salah, saying, "We will not allow Salah or anyone else to be illegally detained in our name." In my work with Jewish Voice for Peace here in Milwaukee, I have had the great, great honor of working closely with Salah for more than 12 years. And I know him well as an extraordinary doer of mitzvahs, of good deeds. I love and respect his orientation toward justice for everyone, and especially for the most vulnerable. Jews for Salah is an unprecedented convergence of Jews from across the Midwest, from grassroots and political movements, synagogues, shuls, lay-led minyans, representing a wide range of denominational, political, and ideological commitments. But collectively, we share a common outrage and a firmly held belief that it is our Jewish obligation to fight for Salah's fundamental freedoms and for the right to dignity and free speech for him and for Salah. And we are tired of Palestinian speech being repressed by this government. One of our speakers, Rabbi Bruce Elder, had actually just returned from Auschwitz before he joined us in front of the Clay County Detention Center, the Nazi death camp where his grandmother and aunt had been murdered. It was his first visit there. And he told us that while the Clay County Jail was not a death camp, it was a step towards that. It was a step towards fascism. He told us the Torah says, "Do not stand idly by the blood of your neighbor." And Rabbi Elder said to the Trump administration directly, "Do not use anti-Semitism as a cudgel in your made-up war against free speech, against what you decry as liberalism, against the First Amendment, against Muslims, against Palestinians, against peace activists, against brown-skinned people. As Jews, we reject the use of our community's legitimate concerns as a smokescreen for policies that separate families and undermine democracy." So to my brother Salah, I say welcome. It's so good to see your smile here at ISM again. Your interfaith community stands with you. We celebrate your return today, and we know the work continues tomorrow. It's an honor to be in this struggle with you, and we will remain in it with you until all of these ridiculous charges are dropped. We also remember, all together, all of us remember, the more than 200 other souls still trapped underground in the Clay County Jail, denied healthy food, sunlight, medical care, taken by the ICE Gestapo to break our democracy. And we all say that Free Salah Sasor means free them all.
Thank you very much, Dr. Malama. Okay, we have just a couple more. We're gonna hear from next the executive director of the Wisconsin Muslim Civic Alliance, Sister Fawzia Qureshi. They were very, very involved in getting information out to the community. She worked with also elected officials. We wanna really thank the elected officials, from those who came when we had our initial press conference, the officials from the city of Milwaukee and surrounding communities, as well as those who subsequently helped in passing resolutions. Sister Fazio can discuss some of that stuff. Thank you.
Salam alaikum, good afternoon, everyone. Look around you. This right here is what happens when you tell a community to sit down and be silent because our community leader was taken for his free speech. But we stand up instead. We speak up every single time. When Brother Salah was taken from this community, some people expected us to be quiet. They did not know this community. And alhamdulillah, now Brother Salah is home. My name is Fawzia Qureshi, and I'm the executive director for the Wisconsin Muslim Civic Alliance, and I want to talk about how we got here, because this community deserves to celebrate the collective efforts that can protect us and bring our community members home when we stand up for one another. From the moment Brother Salah was taken and detained, we made a decision. We were not going to whisper. We were not going to wait. We were going to organize. Over 200 organizations from across Wisconsin and beyond signed on to a letter calling for Salah's release and naming that this was a clear attack on his free speech to oppose the genocide in Gaza and uplift Palestinian rights. As a legal resident for over 30 years, a beloved community leader and family man, we stood up to tell the truth about who he is. Muslim, non-Muslim, faith organizations, civil rights organizations, labor groups, and every other group, we thank you. We are grateful for all of you. All of us united under one truth. This detention was wrong, and we were going to say this everywhere, to everyone, and to every level of government. Milwaukee spoke out. We saw that. Our Milwaukee Common Council passed a resolution with 12 votes in favor. Thank you, Alderman Alice Brower, for leading that. We also saw that at the Milwaukee County Supervisor level, where I testified along with Brother Salah's family, and I watched supervisors who had not originally said yes and vote yes, but they then, after listening to all of us and listening to our community, voted yes. We want to thank County Supervisor Carolyn Gomez-Tom for authoring that resolution. You rallied your colleagues, and you showed up for this community. We thank you. We needed a champion, and we were heard. We appreciate that. We went to Congress. Six members, led by Congresswoman Gwen Moore, right here from Wisconsin's 4th District, wrote directly to the Secretary of Homeland Security demanding Brother Salah's release. Senator Tammy Baldwin led a Senate leader letter joined by Senators Bernie Sanders and letters Senator Chris Van Hollen and the people of this community and across the nation sent over 25,000 letters to members of Congress. 25,000 letters, please. This is a community that refuses to be ignored. All of that, every resolution, every letter, every phone call, every rally, built the pressure that supported Brother Salah's legal team as they fought for this, for his habeas petition to be heard in federal court. And this week, a federal judge ordered his immediate release. And this is what advocacy really does look like. That is what it produces. And we will do this for every community member who is targeted by an administration that wants to silence us. Brother Salah's release is a victory. However, the work is not finished. We know that. We must still fight for his right to free speech in court. And there are others in detention, as Jogi mentioned as well, that don't have a coalition behind them. No press conference, no resolutions. The system that made this possible are still in place. And we will do everything we can to speak for our neighbors, and that is what they deserve. To Brother Salah, we welcome you. Thank you so much. And your freedom belongs to every person in this room, and I congratulate every one of us, and we are so thankful and blessed to have you back.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Sister Fozia. So we're going to hear from just two more individuals. The last person who will be speaking is Munjid Ahmed, one of the attorneys. He's also going to read a statement that was issued by Congresswoman Gwen Moore's office, who did go down twice to see Salah Sasur at the Clay County. And again, we appreciate her efforts. One of the things about this targeting of individuals is it is targeting individuals from many, many different communities. And one of the allies that the ISM has worked with for many years and the Muslim community has worked with for many years was the Latinx or the Hispanic community from many, many different backgrounds. And we are going to hear from Christine Newman Ortiz, who is here representing
It's wonderful to be here with all of you, with Salah Sasur, at this time when to celebrate him coming home, to be reunited with his family, and to be reunited with his community. It's also an opportunity for all of us, a commitment, as Salah Sasur mentioned earlier, to really commit ourselves again to the struggle ahead, to the days ahead. Because we know that we continue to face challenges, including the ongoing effort at deportation, but broadly speaking too, against efforts to silence dissent and the abuse of power. And so it's, you know, really proof today that when we come together, we do make a difference. And not everyone speaks out, but when people speak out, that's what it's speaking out on behalf of others, and that's what allows everyone to see the humanity of this situation, to understand the injustice, to peel away the walls of that prison, to expose the inhumanity, and to bring us together. And so we also thank you for your leadership in doing that, and the family who spoke on your behalf. Aguirre Benitez, another Wisconsinite who we've been supporting as all of us as a community, was also recently released, still facing a deportation without having any criminal record. But it really shows in both cases part of what's been important to expose has been those conditions in the jail. Because we've been able to see how these prisons that are private prisons, this is a business, they're making money off this, have been holding people for long periods of time and putting their lives and health at risk. And Vita was able to, when she came out, to also share how she and others were offered $3 a day to do work in the prison, in the cafeteria, and cleaning, and how she witnessed two miscarriages of two pregnant women because of the abusive conditions. So our struggle continues, and I just want to say all of this of what's been happening, it's an effort. We are seeing the escalation against our communities, whether that's voting rights activists in Ohio, whether that's Palestinian activists who were part of the broader network to document ICE abuses in Minnesota. We know the escalation against organizations and activists is part of the effort right? But this is proof that every time they come at us, we come back stronger and more united. So we meet fear with courage, and we meet division with unity. It's an honor to be in the struggle with all of you to celebrate this moment, and we will continue to build in the times ahead. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Christine. Before I call up Mujahid, I just want to mention one thing. I had the opportunity to drive back with Salah from Clay County yesterday. And we were talking about, even while his conditions were there, and Salah doesn't shy away from expressing himself and organizing people. And many of the people he actually said there were not from, you know, our community. Many came from Mexico and other areas. But he said how he had developed a relationship with them. Some of them didn't have much family, they didn't have the resources. He allowed them to use, you know, his phone or the time method, you know, that they were able to use the phone, his minutes, if I could call it that, not the actual phone. He helped them, you know, writing things in English. And again, he said it was a family. And when he left, he said it's amazing. When they found out that he was leaving, many of them were crying. And in their own language, just thanking him for the work that he actually did. And again, I just think that that's something to important to mention, that we are one community regardless. I next want to invite Mujahid. I've known Mujahid for a long time. He's one of the board members of the ISM. I don't know if he did any work in 81 days other than for Salah. I really, you know, every time we're on the phone all the time, I'm in meetings, he's, you know, talking.